to Illusion of Difference, I as Creator, with your host, Elondis Lake. Our search for unity starts within. Our quest for safety starts within. Once we understand the role difference plays when building community, we can release what we are holding back. We can learn from life's challenges. We can become who we are meant to be.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Elondis, and this is Illusion of Difference. Today, I have my friend and colleague, Thomas Price. He's a firefighter extraordinaire. He knows a lot about trees and a lot about the way he describes himself. I like it. He said, when there's a fire, there are a lot of people are running in the opposite direction, and I'm one of the ones who runs into the trees. Yeah, I have the greatest, he's very proud. I'm very proud to know him. So what I want to do is welcome Thomas to the show. Hi, Thomas. How are you?
Hello. Doing well.
Good. I'm glad
great to
have you.
Here.
Yeah. I'm glad to have you. I want you to start. I'm thinking this will be like a three-part series, and want to be relaxed about it. That's the best way I like it. So what I'd like for you to do is to start by, and I'm going to do this as well. We're going to talk about our first relationships, our first understanding of the role trees play in our lives and things. So I want you to do a little bit of background about your professional work, and then we'll just ease on into personal and talk about what I like, talk about trees. So that's where I would like we could go.
Okay. Well, remind me to talk about my grandmother in the Redwoods when we get to that personal part, but basically professionally I'm an environmental safety professional. That's kind of broad and inclusive. I started out as a wildland firefighter, putting myself through a degree in forestry, decided to shortchange the forestry degree and got a natural resource science degree because I found out as I helped build one of the first sustainable forestry models that what we were doing to our groundwater was just as bad as the things I was seeing happen in the forest. And so then I got environmental studies and planning with emphasis has materials management degree and went on to do many things since then that might touch on in some of these segments.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. Yeah. So, I'm going to remind you of your grandmother and let you go with that. So let's move into that, where you first got introduced to the importance of trees, your awe. That's one of the places where we connected. That's why I like to talk with people, even though I don't know if I'll have anything in common, because there's always something that connects us. And this was one of our first connections. Yeah, it was deep. So do you mind going first with yours?
Sure. I'm so basically the funny thing is my connection with trees revolves around the water as well. But I was very fortunate to have a grandmother who loved me so much that even in her young, youthful grandmotherhood, she would bend beside my bed and say prayers with me and kind of gave me this sense of great love. And part of that great love was these summer walks in the Head Forks of the Big River in Mendocino Coast Range of Northern California. And we would walk amongst the redwoods, but we'd walk down this little tributary looking for water dogs, and I would love to hold my breath and go underwater sometimes for lengths of the time to go find and catch water dogs. They're basically salamanders.
But yeah.
I knew them as water dogs first. And she used to keep an old pair of tennis shoes that were slightly ruined that I had to worry about ruining to walk down the creek. And it was just, there's so many beautiful memories, but it's that love for the outdoor that she shared walking down and loving me and, you know, creating the safe container for me to go explore and be part of and one with nature.
Mm.
That really was foundational.
Yeah. That's, I like that. I'm visualizing it again still. So for me, my first memory of being aware of those massive trees in our yard, there was, I don't know, kid laying in the grass, just kind of looking up at the sky and hanging out. I did that a lot, still do. And they were beautiful, just gorgeous. And then I got mesmerized watching the leaves as they reacted and responded to the breeze that I felt. And it was like a connection there. I would feel the breeze as well. And seeing the leaves respond and seeing that you can see the underside and the overside. And it's a little bit of a difference, the way the light hits it and the way the tree would bend a little and just like a rock, you know, rocking back and forth. And it was so relaxing for me, and it still is. But that was my first noticing trees other than the way most of us do, I guess. Then when I started learning to canoe and getting on the water, my father taught me how to check the wind from the ground while you're out on the water. And you can judge which direction the wind's coming, and you get a lot of information. I won't go into all the information that you can get while you're on the water, which is, it can be life-saving. But that was my second wave of building that relationship that I still have with trees. Then the next time was when I was older, and I've always been an animal lover as well. That's what I was called. And I didn't mind it at all. Don't still. And I realized that the trees were home for animals, you know, squirrels, birds, all kinds of stuff. Raccoons would go up and eat. Just blew my mind when I realized that other beings had relationships with trees, and it wasn't just me and the tree. So,
yep.
Yeah. So
there's so much connection there. And I want to pause before we get too far. You spoke of the dance, as I call it, that movement of the leaves that really was one of your first connections. And I still call it the dance, because if we pay attention to it, and not whether we're on our backs flowing with it energetically or standing up and moving with it, you can feel that on your cheeks. You can feel that wind blow, and it moves us. And we're so connected by that air. And what we don't realize is actually the water molecules in the air, that is what we're feeling. That's what is all the rest of the gases, majority of them don't have a temperature difference that you can feel and that makes things move. But the water molecules can be suspended in air and can move things. And it's water in the trees that helps it breathe out oxygen. And it's water in the trees that also helps them drop it to their roots and nourish themselves. But yes, water is that life connection that is in the dance between us and all the rest of beings.
Yeah, yeah. That is very, very, very true. I also can compare what I just described, and that was most of my childhood and into young adult, what it's like not having that easy access to that kind of connection to trees and nature, just nature in general, but trees in particular. I still have it. There's a big tree in the backyard where I am right now, and I can feel that tree, but I have been places, like, for instance, Europe. There's a lot of, like in Germany, there's a lot of buildings and apartments, but not so much land for individual trees and things that have been around forever. And that was the first time that I actually felt a loss that was connected to something other than another human being.
Yeah.
And for a long time, I didn't realize what it was.
It can be very noticeable, even going into the Los Angeles Valley. You can feel that energy or the difference in energy. While the mountains around there might have some trees, it's something I notice that's palatable. And the more we, you know, let go of nature and try to build our own resourcefulness and forget to build nature or be one with nature into our livability, we disconnect ourselves from all that that really sustains us.
Yes. Yeah. There's another thing that I can share personally. I had the privilege of visiting Jamaica, and there was a plantation that we went to for as a tour. Some of it was a tour, which I don't necessarily like, but you learn some of the background sometimes. And I was totally struck. I didn't know about this tree. It was massive. And I was walking around just looking, you know, enjoying the weather and the grass. And I turned a corner sort of and walked, and there it was, just standing there. And I had to go and touch it. I was drawn to this huge, huge tree, just towering over, just there. And I could not stop myself from just putting my hands on it, not taking anything other than probably energy. But actually, I'm making a connection right now. And myself, I think the reason I wanted to feel it was because I was living in a place that didn't have, it had taken the trees down to build the condos. So there wasn't any kind of presence with trees. I had to go and just put my hands on that tree and hold it for a while and let it do whatever it was doing with me. I'm wondering if you've had anything like that in your memory.
Oh yeah, and fortunately for me, and unfortunate for others, that they're not as blessed as I've been with trees. I've been 1,000-acre ranches that I've had access to with thousands of redwood trees, as well as many other things, from buckeye to acorn type bearing trees. But this sense of other, I guess I would say, in some of these older trees, and even in certain forests, there's one area called Gordon Lakes not too far northeast of where I'm at right now. And just the, you can feel the almost wisdom in the trees. And my friends recently bought some property near Cottage Grove, and it had been logged and kind of really logged in a way that didn't leave the area looking very beautiful. But some of the old trees that were left behind were the ones that are not, weren't pretty, weren't merchantable for the logging industry, but the wisdom and the character in each of those trees, it's like they had their own stories to tell.
Yeah.
And they have seen everything. I mean, some of them were so old and so even weathered by nature and time, growing new tops and new branches that you could see where they received either damage by humans or damage by nature itself, and continue to be resilient and stand strong, and then not only grow strong, but grow strong in a way that just gave them this immense character. But yeah, there's even, I haven't been part of it, but I know some people that go out and hug trees and are part of this thing called ecosexuality, because there's just this connection that people, I think, sometimes have to trees that isn't always realized or isn't always really understood until they get to be out in the forest or into nature. I was lucky.
Then
my growing up, I had thousands of hours out there to be one with nature and, you know, grow up learning from nature.
Yeah, it's a privilege, like you said, but it's also I think it's a responsibility for children that we have to pass that on as best we can, which is part of what I'd like to kind of delve into a little bit. I think I already know the answer. If you, next generation, have you consciously thought about or acted on bringing that level of awareness to the next generation coming after you? With mine, it was my my daughters and their friends. We would go out where the trees were, and we were lucky because a lot of times we were in places like Western Mass, where you can easily access water and trees. They might not be yours, but yeah,
yeah.
They're yours in nature, and
right.
And you can do it that way. So I think I know the answer, but tell our listeners how important you think it is to make a conscious effort. Don't just leave it for because we both come from the same background as far as my father made a point to teach me about outside, trees, water, that kind of
yep.
thing. And your grandmother and probably other adults as well. So I'm wondering about what kind of advice you could give or inspiration or encouragement for people who have the next generation responsibility of passing on. What's one thing that you would suggest they start with?
Yeah. And some people shy away from the word responsibility, but I think we have the honor of giving the gift that we received and passing it on. And it's one of those gifts that can multiply as far as you want to give it and as to many people as you want to give it. I have even delved into having younger kids that are technology-driven and how to bridge the gap and how to connect them with technology and the outdoors. Everything from Minecraft and biomes, and then when I'm in a natural biome, talking about biomes, because they can connect to that aspect of Minecraft because they talk about different biomes and different – so help them build the digital connection to their outside reality. I've even played games on the when my third son was young, he was bored and didn't want to be on the coast, on the ocean, where it was beautiful and whatnot. And at the time, he really loved this game was new and called Angry Birds, and I showed him how we can make all these different little structures of rocks and stuff and play just there on the beach and have use our imaginations to create Angry Birds in real life, you know. Even my youngest, helping them create fairy forts in the nature just to have, you know, fantasy world come alive in the forest.
I don't know how old your young people are now, but I bet they have fond memories of those times, whether they tell you or not.
I hope some of those things you just got to trust. I know that they're at that more teenage age where the friends and stuff become more important, but I hope that they will still be able to look back or find their way in the future, and seeing those trees like you describe will help give them resilience or give them positive memories.
That's for sure. Here's a thought. I'm thinking for people who are listening, and I like to go to the place where I don't like to assume that some level of information is freely available. A lot of times it's not, and I've been in positions where you're taking notes and you're writing, and when you take notes, you're not listening. You're missing part of what's happening in real time. So I like to eliminate the note thing if we can. What would be, say you're talking to someone or you want to encourage someone who maybe has bought their first house or moving into whatever, what would you encourage them to do, the first things that you would encourage them to do to take care of the trees that they have in their custody, for lack of a better word, in their care?
Sounds good. Yeah. Well, I think one of the fallacies that quite often happens in our society is we think we can read a book or know something without actually knowing it. You know, it's like getting to know you and assuming after the first couple of visits with you that I actually know you, but it really takes some experiential time to know someone or something, and plants and animals are that same way. Spend time in and with your trees, garden, space, whatever you've got, to start to learn it. I mean, and really knowing and experiencing it is partly touching it too. I encourage people to always get their hands dirty in their yards, in some way find a way to plant something new or help water something and make it thrive. Before we just, cut back and change things, get to know the plants and animals that are there and see how you can live with them. Because it's, especially in my neighborhood, I'm actually built on a hill, kind of an area I wish that we wouldn't have built into in our city, but plants and animals all around me. And while I know people like to live on hills, I'm not saying no one should live on a hill.
No.
I'm aware that there were animals and trees there before I was there, before this house was here. And I'm slow to cut down or limb things until I kind of have an idea of really, is my purpose better than the purpose of letting this be here and be aware of that? I unfortunately had to cut down 5 fairly big trees in my backyard because of an infection that was diseasing all the trees. Was basically killing them, and they were tall enough that they not only threatened my house, but the neighboring houses, and neighbors were getting concerned. But I watched them. I paid attention to them. I even let them die for a while. But I've also got the background to assess that. Mm-hmm. And I worked with others to make sure that they were still in a safe condition and knife them down before they were unsafe. Mm-hmm. But for a while, they were habitat for woodpeckers and others, and the funguses mm-hmm. were allowed to grow on them for a little while. And so it, you know, there is life and death, especially in nature. And basically taking time to witness and watch. And that's the only way you can really make informed decisions about nature. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things that we are currently missing in our society, is really informing ourselves in a good way. The elders in many of the indigenous tribes spent a lot of time, and they would talk about it as listening to nature, listen to the birds and the trees and the animals, because they will tell you what they need.
Yeah.
And it's really that relationship building that we become one with or in line with all that sustains us. And we've kind of gotten out of alignment and disconnected from what sustained us. And I'm as much as trying to drag people almost out to nature to share it with them, I'm a big proponent of just teaching them about nature and encouraging them to spend time in nature, because we are not making fully informed decisions until we actually have the information and understanding of what nature actually does and what its purpose is, and that we're actually part of nature.
Yes.
Because many feel that many are so disconnected and so misinformed that they don't understand how they're one with that nature that they're cutting down or changing. Mm-hmm. And to continue to be destructive in that ignorance is really destructive to self.
Yeah, and peace of mind. A lot of people don't realize that being out, we're part, like you're saying, we're part of the nature. We're not separate from it. We're connected. I have one example that I was, we have deer that pass through, and I have a rambunctious big dog, Koa, and he says, "A deer!" That was maybe a couple of years ago, and it took some time, but now he sees them as neighbors, because I've taught him that word, neighbors, and he doesn't bark at them. And actually, I'll tell you one kind of funny. It wasn't funny when it happened, but it's funny in retrospect. When I realized that, okay, we need to get acclimated here. I was taking him out to do his thing and get some exercise, and there was a deer across the driveway and came up and charged us. And Koa took off running, and I was like, wow, I've never been charged by a deer. And it was kind of funny, because it wasn't a big deer. It was just a little doe, and she was like, I guess, feeling herself, or, yeah, why are you bothering me? But that leads me to the point I really wanted to make, which is when we change the ecosystem around us, we have that. We can do that. But we're also setting out a chain of reaction as well. It's not just going to be limited to that one tree or that one bush, or there's animals that will come and get under it in shade if they need to, or smaller bugs and birds will wonder, oh, where'd it go? And now Koa doesn't chase deer. And I did it all by reminding him, that's your neighbor, and the deer charging us and scaring him. Yeah. I was like, Koa, you kind of just ran off and left me standing here.
What kind of guard dog are you now? Yeah. The the Doe, in her defense, might have learned at an early age that she had to stand up for herself with living in community with dogs and other animals in your kind of neighborhood. You have to find, so we all find ways to coexist and develop our own good and bad modalities. But yeah, it's wonderful. I've actually had some wonderful experience with deer and many other animals. And I also love the stuff that's gone viral now with, like, I think there was a deer and a bunny recently cuddling together. And, you know, the animals do have relationships, and they learn to trust each other. And if you know, they're around each other long enough, they can form protective bonds and protect each other. I mean, they're not... If a dog is well fed, they're not looking for deer as food. They're just, you know, a play toy at that point. And
now when the deer come, they still come, and they come 3 to 4 at a time. Sometimes when we go out there, they're just kind of lounging around, and they raise their head and look and say, "Oh yeah, hey, hi deer," and Koa looks and puts his head back down, doing whatever he's doing, sniffing and stuff. So I draw comfort from that, and because sometimes I can get a little on the sad side with the way the world is turning. Lack of respect for anything other than monetary things or whatever you want, and everything else has to give way. So I think that stuff like this, and being aware that you can do little things and make a difference.
Oh yeah, there is hope out there that we can coexist, even if we come in as rivals to begin with, or with opposing views. We can learn to be neighbors. You know, we can learn to actually help each other out. Actually support each other and lift each other up.
On that note, I think that I'm going to ask you if you have any last thoughts you'd like to leave someone listening and saying, I want to know where I can get more information or how I can get involved or whatever way we want to go, because like I said, we're going to do more. This will be just the beginning. Say somebody wants to know more, and they're at the beginning of their journey, what would you encourage them to do?
Well, there's many places to start, but one thing that's coming to mind is a book that I was a part of called Reinhabit the Village, and it's a little bit more of a compilation of different things, but just that idea of reinhabiting this world, this village, wherever you're at, and finding ways to be restorative and do things that build connection, not only with you, but with nature. And we're coming into the new year here. I know that around April, there's times that we are encouraged to plant a tree. If you can find a place to plant a tree, I know that right now in Oregon and California and many of the states have recently had fire. You know, you can be active with my fire ecology network and help reforest and plant trees out in some of these burned scarred areas.
That would be great. Yeah, and fire ecology and reinhabit the village. Yeah, those are two good places.
Yeah, I can share a link for you later with the reinhabit the village and fire ecology network. But yeah, those are two places you can start out, and two places that I'm active.
Well, that's fantastic. I will make sure it gets passed on and maybe jump in some of that myself. So, all right.
And if nothing else, they can connect with both of us on the Common Goods Network. Common goods we can co-create.
That's true. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to say it's time to close up and wish you well. And I enjoy, as always, our chats, because That's what I like to do. I like to chat. And
yes.
Thank you for sharing your wisdom, and I look forward to the next time.
Thank you, and many blessings. I really appreciate all of our time together.
Yes. All right. That's all I have for today. Until next time.
Listening. This has been Illusion of Difference, I as Creator, with your host, Alondis Lake. Join us again. Continue to learn how to take charge in every situation, every challenge.